TED Audio Collective.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You're growing a business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A quick new idea, daily, from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. Greg Deal is a visual and performance artist who expresses his indigenous heritage in his work. Instead of presenting a pastiche of indigenous life that fits into old Western cliches, Greg's work asks us to examine the misconceptions inherent in those stereotypical representations.
My name is Greg Deal. I am a husband. I am a father. I am an artist, and sometimes I'm an activist. And I am also a member of the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe. But I'm mostly known for performance art. I create work that is about being in spaces that are not normally spaces that people think we occupy. I tackle things like stereotype and conceptions and misconceptions. It's everything from concepts of standing rock to even things like blood quantum, the way in which we are quantified through an American process that decides how much Indian we are and whether or not we're Indian enough to matter. A lot of there's two main tools of everything that I do, and it has brought me to this stage. I do a lot with history and historical consideration, and I also do a lot of critical thinking. And within those things, I've discovered something, and that is that the value of indigenous people is really low in the eyes of America and in the eyes of American culture. That there's a hierarchy that is set within those spaces that immediately tells every child and ultimately every adult that is having education here in the United States what our value is. So for example, we know who Christopher Columbus is, but we don't know the name of the people that he came into contact with. I mean, I know, you guys might not know, but that's important because it already tells you he's important and we are not. In fact, it goes so deep that he came here and he thought he was in India. And so he called the people he came into contact with, he called them Indians. And 500 plus years later, we all know that he was lost at sea, but we still call indigenous people Indians. Abraham Lincoln has this incredible legacy in history. He signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But what you don't know is he also signed off on the largest mass hanging in American history. 38 Dakota men who were being hung for a little more than just to make an example of them. It happened on the 26th, so it was the day after Christmas. I'm not saying this to make a divisive statement about Abraham Lincoln. I'm telling you this because when we omit things from history, then we immediately give value to those things. And what this does is this sets us up with something that is really damaging. As an artist, I've found that the only way to function as an artist is that you have to work within the bounds of what Western culture expects you to do. They expect us to be painting cowboys and Indians. People are heading down to Santa Fe and they want to buy a nice Indian painting by a nice Indian to put in their home because it's Indian. And as a result of that, we're one of the few subcultures in the art world that is actually being controlled by a Western buyer's market that decides whether or not there's value with our stories. And it's a risk. I mean, if I do anything different than that, it is an inherently professional risk. So I've decided to take a professional risk. I'm working under the premise of what does contemporary Indigenous art look like when it is not informed by a Western buyer's market. So the first piece I created for that is a self-portrait. I was in kindergarten, and it's a seemingly innocent image, but it's titled Prairie Nigger, because that's what the kids called me when I was a kid. I went to an all-white school. I was the brownest kid that was in school, and that is what they called me. And I don't say that to be decisive or blasé about a word, but to illustrate the intersectionality that exists within the language of racism and intolerance. And this is how I experienced it at the age of 5 or 6 years old. And this is not a unique story for Indigenous children. This is happening all over the country. And the reason for that is because nobody has any context to who or what a Native person is. There is no value to our stories. So you can see there's not even space for our stories, the stories that don't make sense, the stories that don't fall in line with that cowboy and Indian narrative. I was talking to a good friend of mine. He's from a neighboring tribe, the Timok Western Shoshone. And his people went to the same boarding school as my people did. My grandparents went to Stewart Indian School. It's in Nevada. And he told me the story they heard from his elders, and I wanted to share it with you guys. The story goes, there was this young boy, he's about 5 or 6 years old, and he shows up at the boarding school. If you don't know what a boarding school is, please look it up. It is a forced assimilation school where culture was literally beaten out of Indigenous children. They started in 1879. And what this happened is this boy shows up, they cut his hair, they scrub him clean to get rid of the lice because they think Indians are dirty. And he goes to bed and he's crying and he's upset and he spends most of the night crying. I wanted to paint this picture because this is what I thought of, a child standing naked and afraid with bloody elbows and with bloody knees. And under the things that I've told you, under the requirements that we have in order to be the best Indian we can for you, these stories don't matter. I maintain that they do matter. And I'm standing here as a result of I stand here as a protest of the policies that were put upon Indigenous people. I stand here in spite of those things. I am my grandparents' greatest dreams that were never supposed to come true. And now I hope I've told you something new. And I think I have. I hope that I've told you something maybe even shocking. And now you're all responsible for that information. Stories are to be carried. Stories are to be held. Stories are to be revered. What are you going to do with that information? If you leave here and you decide to do nothing, you are complicit in the actions of those who came before you, who helped you get to this place, your ancestors, whoever they may be. But maybe ask yourself this, are you making spaces for Indigenous people in your home and in your workplace? Are you creating inclusion in those places? Are you realizing that as you walk these lands, that there are people who walk these lands before you? That these are sacred and important things, and that Indigenous people are still here, and that we matter, and we will always matter, because this is the land of our inheritance. This is the land that the Creator gave us. So what are you going to do with that information?
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded in Boulder, Colorado. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Boulder. Want to listen to more TEDx talks? Explore the entire archive on the TEDx YouTube channel. I'm Matosa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.